This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening on this Veterans Day. And all week long, we've been listening. It's the first Friday of the era of Donald Trump, where we sadly report the passing of poet and singer Leonard Cohen at age 82, who seemed to leave a message for all of us on his way out of this world.
I wish there was a treaty we could sign. It's over now, the water and the wine. We were broken then, but now we're borderline. And I wish there was a treaty. I wish there was a treaty between your love and mine.
Those are literally the last words from Leonard Cohen's final album, released just last month, You Want It Darker. The president-elect's first response to the protest came, predictably, in a tweet. It sounded a little Nixonian. Just had a very open and successful presidential election, he tweeted. Now professional protesters, incited by the media, he accused, are protesting. Very unfair. Then later, he tweeted something that walked that accusation against the media back. Love the fact that the small groups of protesters last night have passion for our great country, he said. We will all come together and be proud. We will note reactions of all kinds to the election all hour long, and we invite you to tell us whether you support these protests and the idea of people saying that even though he is legally elected, Donald Trump is not my president. Lots of people are saying that. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Evan, New York. The protesting is important because it shows that if many of the changes and ideas that Trump wants to pass are passed, they will be met with social unrest and resistance.
Later this hour, we will also be picking up our conversation from yesterday with retired Admiral Mike Mullen, former head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But first, the millions of Americans in uniform must get used to the fact that Donald Trump will soon be their commander-in-chief, something they're all no doubt contemplating on this Veterans Day. We begin this hour with two veterans. Asha Castleberry is a U.S. Army veteran who served in Kuwait, Jordan, and Iraq from 2012 to 2015. She's now a professor at Fordham University. And Daniel Cortez is a 65-year-old Marine Corps veteran who served in Vietnam in 1970. He's now an advocate for minority veterans and has a son who is also in the armed forces. Cortez says he's thrilled with Trump. Asha, not so much.
I'm excited about it because in the Obama administration, a lot of veterans in my community, we were disappointed. We're disappointed in sequestration. You know, when you have a son serving on active duty, you want him to be fully equipped to go to battle. If he goes to battle, to know that he's going to be secure. The Obama administration did not live up to its mandate to take care of readiness and keep America safe. I feel we are more unsafe than we've ever been in my lifetime.
Do you believe that Trump understands this situation?
What's exciting to me is his attitude in general and his out-and-out patriotism, and his devotion to our nation. He's a self-made man. You know, my family, we're a family of immigrants. Some of us were undocumented. We got our legality by serving in the armed forces, my uncles, during World War II. I'm proud to say that. I'm very proud to say that. We didn't get a handout. We served America. Trump wants to serve America, and I think he's going to be fair to the Hispanic community by doing it legally, and that's the way we need to do it. And in turn, what he's going to give back to us is his business prowess. And we need to get back to the business of America, and veterans are going to be treated better. Our national defense will be at a razor's edge that it should be, and patriotism is going to be at an all-time high. I think America's best days are in front of us because of Donald Trump. I'm proud I voted for him.
Asha, did you vote for Donald Trump?
No, I did not. And one reason is because I did not come across any of his policies in terms of a comprehensive approach with regards to veterans issues. We needed to definitely reform the VA. some of the systems in place in the VA are behind. Moving forward, I do hope that he does a set of policies that will help reform the VA, that will help more vets when it comes to entrepreneurship, educational benefits, more benefits for women. So to be more optimistic, I hope there is a way forward that he does make it a lot better for us. But not all business practices apply in diplomacy and defense. So I will never say that Donald Trump is not a successful businessman. He is. But maintaining a business or managing a business and applying to governing and diplomacy is totally different.
Have you opted out of the political system? In other words, if it's like this next time, will you just not vote?
No, I will always exercise my vote no matter what. A veteran is supposed to make sure that we put the right commander-in-chief in place. That's very important because we have those unique perspectives that we acquired in the battlefield or working in the military overall. It is important for us to make sure we select the right person who is fit to be in the commander-in-chief position.
We did.
Well, so far we hope we did moving forward, but at the time, no, I did not feel that way.
Well, today is a new day, and I want to be optimistic about it. And I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. I vote the person, not the party. But I want to be positive. You know, President Obama is my president. He's been a disappointment, but he is my president. He deserves respect as the president. It's a new day. We have a new president, and we should stand by him and hope for the best.
I totally agree with you, but in terms of the rhetoric that was coming out of Donald Trump's campaign, there wasn't necessary unity that backed up with it bringing all Americans together. Sexism, racism, that kind of further polarized and divided Americans. So moving forward, we're hoping that, you know, a President Trump will not continue that rhetoric, but we want to, at the end of the day, just like what you said, move forward with some sort of optimism.
And I guess the question is, you don't really have a choice, Asha.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Donald Trump wants to order you or your unit to go target families to get hostages out or to take out some target in ISIS, you've got to do that, even if it's against the Geneva Convention.
Absolutely. He's our new commander.
I don't believe he's going to go against the Geneva Convention now. I don't believe that for one minute. He's going to have advisors. You know, people like Asha and I that have served and have seen shots fired in anger that are going to bring him to the reality of what war is. And war is chaos. And in its chaos, there's got to be a sense of order. That we have that through the Geneva Convention. Even though countries that go to war with America don't live up to the Geneva Convention, that's why America historically takes the high ground. So to say that Donald Trump is going to violate the Geneva Convention or to suggest it, you know, I don't think that's fair. I believe he's going to be a strong commander-in-chief. And when you demonstrate strength and respect, your adversaries back off. And that's what I want to see in a Trump administration. I'm not an advocate of war. I've seen war. I'm a pacifist. I don't want my son to go to war. And Asha, we can agree to disagree. I respect you tremendously. You are my sister in arms. We have served. America should not be afraid. We should be relieved. I see strength in the White House that's coming.
Would you say that, Asha, you could envision a time, a moment, when something would be coming down from Donald Trump as commander-in-chief and that you could not, in good conscience, carry that out and would therefore have to resign?
Well, I remain optimistic where I'm hoping he would make the right decisions. But you know what they say, the first 100 days when you open up that black book, your mind is totally different. And he'll have his advisors, so he will probably most likely respond to a situation or a crisis or some sort of event totally different versus what he campaigned on for the last 16 months.
What do you think is the scariest place in the world right now for a U.S. military deployment, Daniel?
A shot can be fired in anger anywhere in the world. The Middle East, of course, is a hotbed of danger and has been for a while. For any military man or woman that holds up their right hand and swears against all enemies, foreign and domestic, there are no guarantees. And the military has to be ready to take on all situations. It can occur at home and it can occur abroad. Our threat is in the Middle East. I hope that we counter that threat through strength and negotiation. But America should never again turn the cheek when the other cheek has been slapped repeatedly. I want my homeland protected. I want Asha to be safe and her children and my children and my grandchildren and yours, sir. That's why a strong military is what we need, and a strong defensive attitude, not one of placation.
What about attitudes that Donald Trump has expressed about Latinos in the United States? Are you comfortable with those?
People want what America has. I understand it. My family wanted it. We lived the American dream. We built a business, several. We fought for the nation. We've given blood. Now I'm trying to live a happy retirement and see my children and my grandchildren grow up healthy, peacefully. I understand people want what we want, but America cannot just open its gates and say, everybody come in and Asha and I will pay for you. I want people to earn it the way my family earned it, the way I've earned it, the way my sons earn it. I think that's the American way. Now, we should have compassion. We had compassion to allow my family to serve honorably and prove themselves.
Is there tension within the military about civilian control, about the idea that you have to take orders from someone that's not in the uniformed services?
No, not at all. When you're in uniform, and overall, we come together because we're unified. We represent America.
But absolutely correct.
But as far as not necessarily going by the code of conduct or going beyond a certain barrier, absolutely, they have to be addressed. But we unify because we work as Americans, especially abroad. We come together. We're one team.
What is victory, Asha, in this day and age? And what's the mission of the Pentagon, do you think?
Victory to me is actually achieving peace and security. But there are many challenges that kind of hinder us from actually doing that. It's a tough business. It's very complex, especially abroad, where the emerging threats are just out of control. And in the 21st century, they look totally different from how they looked a long time ago. So victory today, to me, is maintaining international peace and security. But again, it's very, very challenging.
Daniel Cortez served with the Marines in Vietnam in 1970. Asha Castleberry is a U.S. Army veteran who served in Kuwait, Jordan, and Iraq. Asha and Daniel, thanks so much. And I guess happy Veterans Day. Do you say happy Veterans Day?
Yes.
Isn't it happy when we're home?
Yes.
All right. Happy Veterans Day.
And thank you so much for what
thank you
do.
Thank you, Daniel. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Asha. Mm-hmm. Bless you.
Bless you, too.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.